Welcome, everyone, to the Sens Call-Ups, Season 3, Episode 18, for Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. I'm Pan. I'm sick. I'm here with Cardinal. He's sicker.
Sick too.
And Canuck.
I'm healthy!
He hits buttons. Okay. So, yeah, Cardinal wasn't feeling well at all.
No, not today.
Your voice is as good.
My voice will probably strengthen in a few minutes, but this is where it's at right now.
And you really shouldn't smoke 5 packs a day.
I like Gitan, what can I say?
Yeah, and I caught a cold, so.
It's going around.
Yeah. Yeah. Sick. All day Monday and Tuesday stayed in bed. Just in time to get up for the game against the Penguins yesterday.
Oh, mine hasn't been that bad. I've just been low energy with a voice like this. But it's the first time. It's the first time I've been sick in almost 2 years.
Mm. So wow.
I'm hoping it'll be gone. And it's progressing pretty quickly, so it should be gone in another day or two.
That's good.
But I'm just really low energy, so thank you for taking over the middle mic for this particular show.
I am enjoying this Boston cream donut I got for free from Tim Hortons.
Is Boston creamed donut?
We hope so.
Uh-oh. Mm. Where's the rest of the chocolate icing on it?
It's in the bag.
Oh. It's in the bag.
You can make the bag later on then.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I had a really bad fever.
Ooh.
Where, like, you know when you're just thinking, because I'm always thinking too.
And the only prescription is more Sens wins.
And, yeah, so, like, normally I just visualize a lot when I'm thinking. And the only thing I could visualize were three-dimensional stick figure shapes.
So you were imagining puck-possessed game summaries.
No, no.
No, those are two-dimensional.
Like, just like cubes with like made out of straw.
Oh.
It was just
so weird. You were hallucinating.
Hallucinating, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It was that bad.
How many hamburgers did you have?
Well, that's the thing. I think my immune system's just dead now because I don't have any vitamins. Mm. But granted, I stopped eating burgers and I got sick, down 4 pounds.
Is that good? Is well, down 4 pounds good? Because you're saying
we all saw Supersize Me, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm. I'm lucky. I just have a sinus problem on one side, which was threatening to pop one of my eyes out yesterday, but seems to be a little bit better. And yes, this will fix that problem, I hope.
Yep. So today's episode is brought to you by
Labatt 50, of course.
Oh.
Sorry, Russell.
This will help the throat.
It will. It's the Golden Throat Jammer. Mm.
It's a beer.
It's one of my favorites.
Here we go. Game on! All right, so we're just going to try to zoom through these things. This will probably be a shorter episode, too. But next game up was the Lightning at the Senators with a 2-1 overtime win. Stone gets an early goal on a beautiful cycle play. Nice cycle plays.
Were we there?
I wasn't. I didn't see you most of these been. Games. So
Tampa
this is
Bay?
A Saturday of the long weekend.
What? What?
I was in Nanaimo at this point.
For the Lightning?
Yep. Nope, that was a Thursday night. Sorry.
I was going to say.
The
Sunday night.
I was en route.
Yeah, the Capitals was the Saturday night game.
This was in my package.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
So you weren't there.
I was out there on the Saturday. I watched it. I know that.
Yeah, it did.
I did.
Even though it's all a blur
now. This is what,
now.
Like, this week has just been like, blah.
It has just been insane. I can't keep the win straight.
The week leading up to Easter is very busy for me, so I didn't see this game. I didn't see the next game. I didn't really see the game after that all that much either.
Yeah. Yeah, so Stone gets one off cycle play.
Stone, huh?
Yep. Hmm. Oh, Slater Cuckoo.
No, local boy from Mountain, Ontario.
Second game in the NHL. He's terrified that he's going to turn into a Ryan Spooner and just own
exactly.
He played his junior in Peterborough, if memory serves correctly.
So he's a super local boy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep. Dwight ties it up with about 3 minutes left in the first. From what I remember, because I watched this one on replay, the game was really fast and lots of skating around. You don't remember?
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I didn't see this game at all.
I can't remember it now. Sorry.
Yeah. And was it apparently Bishop was 6-0-2 against the Sox?
I remember Bishop was playing fantastic.
Yeah.
They had a real hard time. Imagine that.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah. Who knew?
When in doubt, just run him, right, Pajot?
Yeah. He got really upset at Pajot, started beating on him, drew a penalty.
So a 6'8" goalie's picking on a 5'8" forward.
Yes.
Okay. Well, don't forget he's about the same size as Chiasson.
Who?
Pajot. Remember that one?
No. What was this?
No, this is on Twitter a while ago.
Oh, whatever. I don't remember that.
Anyway, so it's 1-1. It was a pretty tight game. Pretty good game overall. Overtime starts, and with about 20 seconds left, Patrick Wierkosz wires it in.
I remember seeing the highlight for
this.
This
is the Wierkosz face.
Just.
Yeah.
I think it was Sense Chirp that just posted the picture. It was like, are you not entertained?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Well put.
Fantastic. So, I guess no other notes from that game?
Oh,
I got nothing.
There's like, okay, sure. So, we give the Lightning 1 point. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
So that's fine. This episode will probably sound like you're waiting in the medical office with Cardinal blowing his nose and me coughing.
I'm trying to keep it quiet.
it's free. Next game.
That I was at?
Yeah.
You were at too, right? No, you're still in BC.
He was in BC.
You're watching.
Yes, I was watching it.
How was it watching an earlier time frame? Like 4 o'clock for you, right?
Well, it was weekend for me, so it didn't really matter.
Sure.
But my sister mentioned, especially for her, because she's on mat leave. And especially with a young daughter and all of that, because normally by 8 o'clock, you're toast.
Yep.
So that'd
be convenient then.
She can watch the game, or at least listen to the game, while she's preparing dinner, playing with the kid, doing other things.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yep.
And now, you actually had to struggle to get a burger, air quotes, to eat there. It had to be like a pancake. Kind of looked like a burger.
Yeah, my sister wouldn't let me eat them.
I know.
Well played, sister. Well played. She's doing it for your own good.
I had kale salad for dinner.
Well, that's very healthy.
Yeah, it was. It's quite delicious.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Any comments on the game? I only have one. I wrote down one note on this game.
Okay. The first period really couldn't have gone any better.
Three penalties in a row.
Yeah, like legitimate, no real BS calls or...
Not really, other than you usually don't see it. Usually they go soft on calling the second penalty to go down on a 5-on-3, and especially a third one to prolong the 5-on-3.
Yep. Yeah.
And Senator,
you never see that.
Very rarely.
And that one was Holtby just swatting the puck away, and it went over the glass. I have no idea how he can clear it from that angle over the glass.
It's a terrible good situation for Washington.
Holy jeez.
Good baseball swing? I don't know. I didn't see it.
Sens capitalized with 2 back-to-back 5-on-3 goals.
I remember seeing the highlight of this now, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when I asked if we were 200% for the power play. Because you got two on the same one, but...
Sort of, but not really.
It improves the power play's rather dismal performance, so that's okay.
Yeah, which is kind of nice to get set up. So
up 3-0 in the first period, and I had the feeling, which eventually kind of played out, kind of like, uh-oh. I don't like being up 3-0 in the first period.
Hardest lead in hockey to hold. As we'll see in another couple of games.
Take you back to the Leaf game that we went to.
Yeah, up 2 or 3 goals, yeah. two goals.
Or the Penguins game last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the opposite, though.
The opposite. Well,
still a team up 3-0.
Yeah, but just for what the Sens reaction is when you're up.
Oh, okay. Sorry, yep. Yes.
So remember what you said. Take the foot off the gas and
don't play to protect the lead.
Yep.
That's just me.
So the Sens play to protect the lead.
Sort of. Did you really feel that, though?
They had 3 shots in the third.
Wow.
3.
As opposed to
they just got dominated.
As opposed to the 18, I think it was last night. 21, 18, something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, the Penguins are decimated right now with injuries, but that's unacceptable when you're playing with your life there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, game ties up. Then we head to overtime.
And here's what you would have heard.
This has got to be Torres. The crowd is roaring. He's alone. He can win it. He does.
Well, that's good old Bob Cole on Hockey Night in Canada.
And now you can see why. And now people can hear why I prefer to listen to the game on the radio than watch it on TV.
And that's actually a decent call by Bob Cole.
That's pretty excited for a Senators play to be him that excited about it.
Now compare that to Dean Brown, who is the radio voice for the Senators.
Yeah.
Here's Torres with a steal. He's got a breakaway. Kyle Torres can end it. Score! Kyle Torres, overtime game winner.
And people wonder why I'd rather listen to the radio than watch TV. There's your evidence right there.
Yeah. I'd still prefer the visual, though. I guess you mute the TV.
Theater of the mind. No, half the time I'm just not even in front of a TV.
I have a confession to make about this game because that was an amazing overtime goal and the crowd absolutely went nuts.
You went to this one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was there with my family. I was scoreboard watching. That was the day where anything could happen.
Yep.
Sens absolutely had to win, but Boston was playing. They went to a shootout, won. Detroit was playing. They went to a shootout and won. I saw those things happening as Kyle Turris was coming down because I had my game center phone. I was watching the game, but I was also kind of following the shootout. The guy behind me was falling over my shoulder too, watching these shootouts happen. And they both won, and they both just won. Kyle Turris came down and scored. And everybody around me erupts, and I stood up. I was happy too, but it just felt like I ruined the moment. I even turned around and I said to him, they both won. And then even he had the same kind of things like, yeah, like, oh, Frank, come on.
Yeah,
I will not do that again.
Yeah.
Look at it after.
Just shorter.
Enjoy the moment.
Yep.
And then the scoreboard watch.
You can find it out. You can find out the score when you're in your car on the way home.
Well, it's just don't look at it right when
something else is going on.
Yeah.
Especially
a clutch moment like that.
Yeah. So, and I applied it in the next game. We'll get to it.
Yep. Well, yeah. And the thing with that is, the Sens have to win to stay in this.
Yes.
So, regardless of anything else that happens, this has to happen first.
Yep.
So, let's watch this and then figure out what else has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, but man, this has been great.
And then we get to play our game in hand the next night.
Wait, I have one note on this particular game, which I wrote down, I think the day after, was that Erik Karlsson reached 300 points in his career with 2 assists in this game.
Yep.
Nice.
Which, that's 300 NHL points in 393 games. He's the fastest defenseman to earn 300 points in 17 years. And he's the second fastest Swede to ever do it.
Yeah, but he's a defensive liability.
So there you go. Just a couple of little trivia bits there. 300 points in 393 games for a defenseman.
What do you think of him for the Norris?
I think he may get a mention. He's not going to win it.
I don't care.
No.
Honestly, I don't care anymore. Like, people are talking. It's interesting. The Norris with Carlson, the Calder with Stone and stuff. Like, it's just, I don't care.
I think he deserves a mention, but I don't think he deserves to win. The Norris because of the first third to half of the season. He did. It was so bad for him. Like, he's been really good since Christmas.
Yeah.
But leading up to Christmas, no. And for somebody to win the Norris, I think he has to be If he plays next season,
those trophies tend to look at the first half of the season a lot too, especially like all-star votes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what you're doing now. What'd you do in the first?
So there you go. On to the next game.
I don't know what the other guys have done.
Well,
the other D.
I'd have to go and see who other people are talking about. Yeah. Kind of like the Calder. I mean, you can make a case for five different rookies for the Calder, but we'll talk about that after.
Yep. As you guys just flare up all my notes.
Yeah, well,
it's all good.
Sorry.
That's
going back to games.
That's what we do to cards all the time.
Game 79. I'm pretty sure we do, don't we?
Absolutely.
And I have to get you guys back on track. So.
Yeah. Did you guys want to talk about the goal calls?
The Bob difference?
Cole versus, yeah.
I just don't like Bob Cole.
It exemplifies Bob Cole.
Like this, I'm going to play it again. This is actually the best call you'll probably ever hear from Bob Cole.
This is going to be Torres. The crowd is roaring. He's alone. He can win it. He does.
If that had been a Hab or a Leaf scoring that.
Scores!
Bob Cole would have been
apoplectic. It sounds more like a story. Here he comes.
That's what I said. Yep.
You're coming in.
It's like, he can win it, and he does. Like, oh. Just.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
I like that call. But
it's not bad.
Again, he's like 80 years old.
But he misses so much. Like, it'd be his big open ice hit, and he doesn't say anything about it.
Oh, well. That's why I like Dean. I liked Dean Brown when he was doing television for the local broadcast rights last year. I enjoyed him on television, but I really prefer him on the radio.
Yep.
And I'm so happy to have him back on the radio because he and Gord, for people who don't listen to the radio during a game, number one, they're absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But well, they also paint such a better picture than anybody doing play-by-play on television because there is no picture. There is no picture, so it's theater of the mind. I have to paint a better picture than what you're getting from somebody who's...
Now, interestingly, CB Inc. didn't care for Dean and Gord, I don't think.
No?
No.
That's too bad.
And his comments on the commentary is he didn't care because living in Toronto, this year he's finally opened up and been able to see a lot more on TV. And he's fully willing to tune out the voices because now he can actually watch them on TV with this new contract system.
Oh, okay.
So we never really had to suffer through what locals here did.
Oh, well, could be worse.
I don't really focus on things except Healy just gets into my brain.
Oh, well, he's just annoying. He's just annoying.
It's like a mosquito. It's like...
Yep. And some of the Sportsnet guys just aren't great.
Yeah, a lot of them aren't. Most of them.
Sorry, Kyle. You done?
Moving on.
Yep.
Robert Lehner.
Robert Lehner.
Carl Erickson.
So we get to play our game in hand.
Yep.
Yes.
So this one I didn't see because I was on the plane.
Oh, I saw it.
Go ahead.
I saw the whole thing. And pretty much we know exactly what was going to happen, right? Toronto's been laying down. What are they, like down 3-0 to Columbus already in their game tonight?
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs have been laying down to every single team. So you know exactly what's going to happen when Ottawa rolls into town, right? They're going to bring it. Yep.
Yep.
Now, Ottawa didn't play their best game. But Toronto got off to an early 1-0 lead. I think Sens did tie it up. And then Toronto got a 2-1 lead. Ottawa forced it to overtime. Lucky, actually, I think. And then in overtime, there was the Mark Methot, was it a goal, was it not a goal controversy? Did you guys see this?
Yes.
I saw it, but I don't know why it took them forever to come out with a replay.
I don't know why I remember seeing it at the time. I thought, what? Why did they not score? And then even the commentators, they show the same shot angle, like from the kind of from Carlson's, or sorry, Methot's point of view. And they're all like, wow, why didn't that go in? And it's thinking, okay, yep, go to the overhead. That'll answer the question. Never went.
No Vroton, yeah. No overhead. Amateurs.
So, yeah. Apparently it did just go quite a little wide.
It went wide.
Just grazed the post, yeah.
Amazing. So close. But now, that shootout went 7 rounds.
Yeah, and the only shooter for the Senators who scored was the first one.
I stood
up. Who lifted the puck.
I was a air quote, real fan. I was watching this at home. I was standing up watching the game because I couldn't sit still.
Oh, my.
But yeah, especially in the shootout. And overtime, I was standing up watching it. I was just too nervous. And I got to the shootout, and Hoover went first. Zibanejad went first. Scored. I like danced around. You know, I didn't have to do the couch sleep because I was already up. I danced around the apartment. Yes. And I go back and watch it. And I'm all nervous. And then I can't remember the Toronto shooter. He missed. Or it was a save. Danced around. I'm like getting all excited. And then about six more rounds later. And every time it was like our back was against the wall.
I don't
understand why we can't score.
Well, the next six shooters all tried to score five hole or, you know,
or along the post, the ice.
Along the ice. That's what I was shaking my head at, going, well, why aren't you earning
for this? Then Bobby Ryan even like fluffed it or something.
Yeah. This was also the game with, I was listening to the game, but I was also watching Twitter, and this was the game with what people were referring to as the nausea cam.
Yes, I know what that was. They flipped, it was, Game Center usually features that as one of the extra cameras. It's the rail cam. It's like a...
Oh, it's the one that goes around the ring
there? Yeah, it's on one side, and it goes on a track.
It's a great view for replays.
It's interesting, but I did not like it when I was watching the game, and they used it a lot.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, because people were thinking it was on a drone or something. I was thinking if they had a separate one.
It's on a track going along probably where the 300 level, that ring, right along there.
Oh, okay.
So it follows the play. As opposed to what we're seeing right there, where, you know, on a traditional broadcast where it's in the middle and it just turns, it actually would follow the side as if... I'm all for new technology. I know some of it's going to work, some is not, so I'm not going to get too upset that, you know, they're trying stuff. I think it's good to try stuff, but that one, it didn't like it, and majority of people didn't like it, too.
I like it for replays. I really like
it. I like options. Yep.
Yeah.
I like options.
Yeah.
When it first came out, I saw it on Game Center Plus, and I thought it was interesting because you could switch to that camera and basically watch it like you're in the arena.
You're like a bird.
And you don't hear the announcers, you just hear the arena noise. Including when it goes to TV timeout, you can just sit there and watch whatever's happening.
Yeah, but that would totally make me puke.
I thought only
I can did see that. How like it could really make you dizzy.
That seemed to be a bad implementation of it, that game. Mm. Yeah. Now, the TSN 1200, Three Guys in the Radio, had a little bit, and I grabbed a little excerpt of it, talking about that whole Mark Stone goal, no goal. And they were joking about how... Mark Mathot. Okay. Thank you. Mark Mathot's shot that ended up showing it went wide, but it looked like it may have gone through the net, and should Melnick, you know, get his forensics?
Oh, God.
Well, this is the little line that Steve Warren said.
I'm telling you, Frank, the Mathot goal was in. Mark my words.
Well, I'm a thought so too.
Oh!
Sorry.
Do you want to give your CSI who yell there?
No, but my voice won't be able to tolerate. Won't be able to pull that out today.
Oh, jeez!
Now we had an email from a listener who was at this game, and this one's got my name on it, so I'll try and get through it. Maybe a bit of lung butter, but I'll do the best I can. This is from Lee. Hi, guys. I was a longtime groundhog, and I've been enjoying listening to you guys carry on the SU tradition in the last few years. Like you guys did last week, I made the journey down to the ACC for Sunday's game this week. I've been there a dozen times before for basketball and concerts, but never hockey. I get the Leafs are playing for nothing, but of the six NHL arenas I've been to, that was the worst arena experience ever. The crowd was dead quiet during play until overtime. Almost all the crowd chants of Go Leafs Go were started by the 10% of us Sens fans in attendance as Go Sens Go chants. Mm-hmm. The Leafs seemed to know their place and didn't give us any grief, which was unexpected, being up in the 300 level. The Hero hamburger at $10 was a good buy, but it failed to provide us good luck. The only consolation for the loss, for me, was that some Leafs fan lost money when I bought his ticket well below face value. Go Sens, Lee.
Thank
well
you,
played, sir. You bought it at below face value. That's awesome.
Yeah, unlike us lizards. You know what? That was our experience too the week before.
Yep.
It's, the Ghost Leafs Go chants were mostly started because there's a few Go Sens Go and they had to drown it out. It was not a good atmosphere. Mm-hmm. No, and that's exactly why the Leafs aren't in any race.
But I've heard that the ACC is like that pretty much all the time. It's a quiet building. Like, and I'm not just talking this season because the team's doing so badly. I've heard that comment over several years that it's just not a building with a lot of energy in it. Unless the team is doing something spectacularly good.
Well, that will happen anywhere.
A good amount of those tickets, though, are business to business.
Yeah, they're corporate. They're not
so
rabid hockey fans.
And I've been in the corporate box, which I can't do anymore now because I'm just way too into it.
They don't like you yelling shoot at goalies either?
I can't. I can't act out. I can't scream and yell because this is not professional.
Oh, I don't. Well, that's not entirely true. I do react from time to time, but...
Oh, Jeeves, that's a beautiful goal by a Stone, I dare say.
Yeah, smashing, dare say, yes. Smashing, yeah. Yes, indeed.
Nope, thanks for the email, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
It's nice to get some of the old groundhogs.
Absolutely. Thanks for chiming in.
Touch, yeah.
Next game.
Oh, yep. One thing about that game, and I was mad. You know, I'm reacting to the fact the Sens lost to the stinking blue team again. But you watched the reaction on the bench, and everybody's leaping up. Oh, my God, we won. We beat. Oh, I don't know. I'm reading it too much because I'm upset. I mean, it is exciting. Any single game you're playing, it is a sport. You're going to get excited when your team wins. You're going to get excited as a player when your team wins. But, like, the coach jumping up and pump-fisting, it's like you guys are playing for nothing. If anything, you hurt your position. Definitely hurt your arch rival. I don't think we're the arch rival of the Leafs, though.
No, we're not, but so, they haven't been winning lately. So I'm pretty sure they would react that way anytime that they would win. Like, I'm sure they did exactly the same thing when the horn went at the end of the game where they beat Tampa.
Yeah. It's
a win, and they don't have many of those.
They're playing for their careers, too.
Right? Well, I'm sure Pittsburgh fans found... Mark Stone's celebration last night or the whole team's celebration.
No, but it makes sense for us to go nuts.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure they didn't like it. But we're going to talk about that game now.
Sure.
Sorry, I'm doing your job.
The most important game of the year.
Number 6 or 7?
100.
5-0 Blue Jackets right now.
Wow.
Nice. Leafs suck.
Oh, they're doing pretty well.
You know what? And I know our little friends Luke and Chet talked about this, and I fully agree. It's been really eating at me lately. I don't like the Leafs suck chant at Sens games anymore.
A lot of people don't.
Dun, 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 dun. Leafs suck, and they're not even playing. If they're playing, fine, yeah, have your way at it. But they're not playing. It's like
it's the
sky is blue. Dun, 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 dun. Garbage trip pickup is Monday. Dun, 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 dun. Like what? Why do we even care?
Oh, no, today's Wednesday. I'm fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Blue box.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
It's the one thing that we have.
I don't do it, but I don't care.
We need to work on some better stuff. And you know what? I think it's starting to lose it. I don't hear as much of an enthusiastic Leaf suck now from the crowd. I think they're kind of like...
Well, this year it's been pretty obvious. So
Yeah.
It's not quite so entertaining.
Beating the dead horse, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I prefer the Pajot chants on that kind of stuff. They're more game
Were there Pajot chants last
Oh,
week?
Yes.
I wasn't... I didn't see
to
the
be
second
honest
period.
With you,
or third.
I was in 223. Okay, we'll just jump into the Pens game now.
Yeah.
I was in 223. Couldn't hear them.
223.
I was in 219. I could hear them.
Sort of between the blue lines and the red line?
Yeah.
Across on the penalty box side.
Yes, on the home end.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I was 219 below them. Of course, I could hear them, but
it doesn't care.
You're talking about the Sens supporter section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me at all. But they weren't, I know, as much as they like to take credit for like dominating the whole atmosphere. Yeah, they did their thing, but really.
I could hear them on the radio.
But it was... I think the rest of the arena was into it, too.
You can also hear them on TV.
The press box is right on top.
Can also hear it on TV, though.
I think they're miking it there.
Yeah, maybe. But
why not?
You can hear all sorts of things from the building.
But there's no, a lot
I
of other drums.
Oh, I could hear people chanting, but I couldn't hear a drum.
I think they're miking it then.
There's a lot of Ghost Hands Go around the arena. I mean, this is almost a playoff game. It really felt like it. So,
yeah, it really did.
Especially against Pittsburgh when they go down early.
Like
early.
10 seconds in.
10 seconds in.
Yep. Crosby. Oh, this is just like the playoffs.
So again. I really felt there was a buzz in the city all day.
Yes, there was. Even Sens Chirp said, okay, Ottawa, you've done a good job being productive.
Just yeah, he does that every game day. It's fun. So, yeah, buzz in city all day. Puck drops 10 seconds in. Crosby scores.
Yes.
Carlson gets blamed for this.
Well, he was trying to force a shot up to Stone that was in a very... Oh.
Sorry, we have the Boston Caps game on. And Krejci just got a elbow up pretty high on Ovechkin in his head.
He's fine.
Yeah, he is. But
he's got a spare.
You got to call that crap.
Well, there were lots of things that were being called last night. Why would they start calling them now?
Touche.
Yeah, the refs were terrible.
Yeah.
The only thing they called was high sticks. That was it. They wouldn't call anything.
Well, the second goal was the one that really annoyed me because I was watching the
interference.
First period. Yeah, the interference. Well, it was a cross check to Hoffman's back that knocked him down as he was going to be able to reach the puck and clear it away from that goal scoring.
Yep.
And no call because I was actually watching it. I went, oh well, there's a penalty. Where's his arm? What do you mean that's a goal? Where's his arm?
Yeah.
And yeah, no call.
The only thing I'll say is that maybe they're thinking just the way Hammond came really far out of his crease to really challenge that shot, but
that doesn't affect that missed cross check that should have been called 4 or 5 seconds earlier.
I know. But they weren't calling that.
Well, those aren't game-changing situations, right?
No, because anything that leads to a goal isn't a game-changing situation. No, not at all.
Is coach's challenge going to be allowed to do that? Probably not.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Is that opinion?
Maybe interference.
I can't remember what the rules were going to be for it.
It was mostly, I think, only for puck over the glass to start with. Yeah.
Well, that's a start.
Yep. Yep.
What else? Yeah, second goal, though, was still Crosby set it up even though Hoffman got pulled out. Third goal was just a fluke bounce.
Yeah.
I remember the third
one. It was a Crosby backhand, and the puck went way up in the air and just landed.
Oh, yeah. Like Hammond made the first save, but he was out of position and there was nobody between the Pittsburgh player and the net. So that's right.
Remember when that happened with Leonard?
Yep.
And you said that's a once in a season thing that happens?
Yep.
Yeah, that's happened 3 times now.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds about right for this season. Yep.
Easy now.
No, it's a crazy season.
Touche.
The refereeing was just
brutal.
Awful.
Just absolutely brutal. I was not impressed.
You know they want the pens in anyway.
Yep.
So 3-0, the most dangerous lead in hockey, but it didn't feel that way. Sens fan.
Yep.
It felt like it was over, actually.
I turned the game off. I turned the game off on TV because I was so sick of the absolutely inept refereeing that I was like, nope, I don't even want to watch this anymore. I know it's an important game, but I'm so fed up with it, I don't want to watch it anymore.
All the fans around me were kind of, it was the unspoken feeling. It was like, wow. Well, you know, they've done so well this season. We got to stay. We're going to cheer them on and stuff. But damn.
Yeah, because he still came out flying in the second.
And then they started carrying the momentum in the second.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I think, what is it? Pageau got his goal.
Finally got that fluke goal of Pageau.
5 minutes left in the second.
And that's all I was thinking. Just get one. Just get one. Get one.
But after that, I was just like, that's the Penguins. You can't come back.
They looked very dominant. They were steamrolling the Sens. Carlson was making all sorts of mistakes. Well, the whole team was making all sorts of mistakes.
I don't remember
the first.
Totally. Yeah, Carlson was a -3 after the first period.
Yep.
And
Don Brennan said the Sens aren't coming back.
And Steve Simmons.
Yes.
Steve Simmons was the one who said, well, you know, -3 and... What was his exact words? I got to find that. I don't have it in front of me. But,
doesn't have my vote.
Norris leader.
Norris candidate kind of thing. Yeah, it was pretty pathetic. Oh, here we go. Biggest game of the year for Ottawa and Norris trophy candidate is -3 after 20 minutes. Not my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaf and bastage. That's all he is. He's just a Leaf troll.
Maybe Steve, you should call Carlson's mom and get the inside scoop.
And that's a problem with these guys too. And you're playing against Crosby. Duncan Keith won it last year, right? The Norris?
I think so.
He was minus five when he played Ottawa.
No. One game.
You have
not
one
a
bad game. And then what happens in the third?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened in the third because I wasn't watching it, but Bobby Ryan scored at the 34-second mark.
Don't know about
no,
Ryan.
No, not Ryan.
Oh, no.
Sorry, no, Mark Stone.
Mark Stone.
Mark Stone, sorry.
Mark Stone made it 3-2.
Just 3-2. A clutch goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clutch goal.
That I actually leapt out of my seat.
Yep. Because I spent the whole second intermission going. Yeah, I know.
But I didn't go. But
I spent the whole second intermission just thinking to myself going, okay, it's been a good year. I was folding up my tent.
Yep. Mentally. Like, you're preparing yourself.
A great season, everything else, hell of a run.
Yep.
And then
a minute in,
Stone scores. I was like, what? We can win this.
Yeah.
Or we can come back at least. About 2 minutes left. Pull the goalie. I was like, oh boy.
They had to.
They had to, but.
But it was just, yeah. Oh boy.
This isn't going to work. Timeout called. Zibanejad, Hoffman, MacArthur, Stone.
The guy next to me is saying,
Carlson,
why don't you put Turris in? Why don't you put Pajot in?
MacArthur was on the bench helping to design this play.
I saw that.
They showed it afterwards that he was actually going, okay, let's do it. No, no, coach, what about blah, 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 blah. Okay,
I saw that.
Yeah, let's do that. And, well, pretty nice play. I mean, all depended on Zibanejad winning the faceoff, which he did.
Yep. They stopped the first try, go off to the other side. Zibanejad wins it again. Mike Hoffman!
Top corner. Wrist shot.
What a frigging goal.
Yeah, wrist shot. Not a big slap shot.
No, just a wrist shot. Top corner.
Way it goes.
Just laser awesome. Beam.
Laser beam shot, too.
I may have jumped up to the 300s at that point. Not over the rail, though.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And they almost won the game of regulation. I really felt they had to.
Yeah.
Well, they got
these are the points.
Like, I was almost advocating, should they pull their goalie and go shoot the moon here? I mean, this is in regulation, I thought maybe they should shoot the moon. But they drew a penalty, and they had a 5-on-4, which was going to carry into, and it did, into the overtime. So they didn't really have to then. But I thought about it, like, maybe a 6-on-4. Do this thing in regulation.
And that was the very clever play by Mark Morawiecki in the last minute of play when he saw that the Penguins were changing. So he shot the puck over towards their bench.
Yes.
And
it
induced the too many men call.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
That's brilliant.
I've seen it done to us.
Well,
what happened to
Bobby Ryan in what was it? Which game was that?
Toronto game.
Was that what it was? Okay.
And his stick on the ice. Yep.
I just thought that was a brilliant play. Ooh, that's clever. I like that. Almost as good as maneuvering the broken stick into a shooting lane during a...
They almost scored a couple times, especially with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
Point blank shot. Just, I don't know how I missed.
Just awesome.
So, overtime?
And overtime. Mark Stone gets a beauty.
After Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Breaks up a Sidney Crosby scoring chance. Passes it to Turris. Passes it to Karlsson.
And joins the rush.
Back to Karlsson, over to Stone, in the net. It was a thing of beauty.
That place went wild.
I'm sure it must have been absolutely a zoo.
Yeah.
Just a zoo. Because it was quite impressive on the radio. I caught it on the radio. And watching, there was actually a beautiful video clip on the Ottawa Senators webpage. They had somebody with a video camera standing behind the bench.
No, it was the PR guy, the guy that we met.
The photo guy?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. Okay.
He was there with his camera and had on video mode.
And it was like raw footage of what happened on the bench.
I should have got a clip of that, but it's kind of hard to.
Visual thing.
Yep. Yeah. But
well, it's instant, on their official website too.
Yeah. Instant audio, just, it went through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
It was the most important goal of the year. But what a way to end it, though. Fan appreciation night, last game at home of the season.
You stay alive.
And to go out that way.
Yeah.
And the reaction just by the players too. Like they know.
And it was Stone's sixth game winning goal of the season. Turris's third 2-assist game in the last 4 games. And it was also the Senators' 5th consecutive extra time game.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Clutchy. Clutchy.
Clutch.
Well, yep. they won almost 4 of 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
4 of 5, and would that be 9 out of 10 points?
Oh, Washington has scored, apparently.
Yes. Yay! 3-0 Washington.
3-0 on Washington.
I still think Boston's going to come back and win this thing. And I'm not saying that as any sort of Debbie Downer.
They're tired. They're real tired.
I'm just thinking Washington, they're in the playoffs. They've clinched.
No, they haven't.
Oh, yeah, they clinched. They might drop position or something, but they're in the playoffs?
I don't think so.
So it's human nature to get a early 2-goal lead or whatever, now 3, and just take your foot off the gas. And Boston's clinched. Playing for their lives. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they have. But,
wow. Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, back to the present.
It was too bad we had to give up a point to Pittsburgh, who we were chasing. Mm. But what a way to go.
That game, the atmosphere and everything else like that?
Yeah.
I think you were at that one. Round 2 against Pittsburgh, the Colin Greening goal.
Yes.
Just like that. Felt just like that.
Situation so different, but yes. Yes.
It's a borderline elimination.
Nothing will beat that Daniel Alfredson tying it up late goal feeling in that same game. And then the Colin Greening, yes, absolutely. Well, you've noticed lately, we may not make the playoffs. And no, that's not me being a down fan. That's just saying we might not make it.
Yep.
I'm actually okay with that now. Of course I want them to, but I'm okay with it. Because we've had an amazing run, and the Senators have capitalized on it. Alex is now playing the woohoo song when they win. Like, it's just the whole atmosphere, the whole feeling, it feels like the playoffs. And I know no one else will understand that unless you're a Sens fan and have actually been watching these games. But what? Here's a question for you. What would you rather have? Us just be in a playoff berth and, 50-50, we get in and we lose round 1, maybe 5 or 6 games. Or would you rather have this, make a miracle comeback and just go out on a high note? And I know that doesn't sound like it, but if, having gone through this, this has been pretty damn exciting.
That's where I've been since this run started, though, because I've never been going, oh, well, we have to get in the playoffs, or if we don't get in the playoffs, I'm going to be extremely disappointed.
There's times where I felt like, man, especially when we had it, had the positioning, but even now, the way they've played, like, this game is about entertainment. And we've been entertained.
Absolutely, we have.
As much as you possibly can, really.
I always thought there'd be the risk of them running out of track.
They are.
Well, some of them are.
They are.
Bobby Ryan is just gassed, for one.
Yeah. Just in the points, though.
Oh, okay, what you mean. Okay.
And it's like there's two games left.
They don't hold their fate anymore, which is going to suck.
But it's pretty good to be watching games that are still meaningful.
Exactly.
We're not going, there's 10 games left in the season and we're already out, or we're going to be out mathematically in 3 games no matter what happens. So,
I
don't know. Appreciation Day. Oh, well, see you next year. Bye.
And actually, I got tickets for my buddy who's not really a hockey fan, but he wanted to bring his brother to the Caps game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And that was a great game, too.
And I've dragged him out to games before this year when the team wasn't doing well. And he just he talked to me this morning. He was just like, that game was so worth it.
For sure.
It was so much better than the other games.
Yeah.
It was exciting, and it had everything.
Yeah.
These games have had absolutely everything.
Full range of emotions.
Yep. So do I want to make the playoffs? Yeah. If we go 4-0, whatever.
Happens. Yeah.
If we don't make it, it's fine with me too.
Yeah.
Because it's just been that type of year. I'd like to just get, we're not going to win the cup, but I'd like to get in to just get some of these guys playoff experience.
For sure. Well, what is this? I mean, it's not official playoffs, but
this is real damn.
It's been even harder.
This is pressure games. Saw me tweet a few times from my personal account. I tried it once from the call-ups and removed it. Superstitious man here, but really, like, the Thelma and Louise reference, that's what it feels like. We're running out of road here, but we're just going to hold each other's hands and drive over the cliff because this is amazing.
I'm fine with it. It's fun. Yeah. It's entertaining. And I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. You can't. You know, am I entertained? Yes. Is it exciting? Yes. Is it suspenseful? Yes. Okay. Well, what else could it be? Well, they could go 82-0, but I, quite frankly, if a team was going 82-0, I'd be bored by about 45. Oh, another win. Oh, another win. You know, without adversity, yeah, success isn't very interesting.
I know a lot of Sens fans are looking at those two Toronto games, and I caught myself a little bit in thinking, wow, we lost to these blue team losers. We got 2 points out of a possible four. It could be one win, one loss. It turned out to be two shootout losses or two overtime losses. So be it. But you know what? The real reason we're in the position we are is all those games earlier. And you can pick any game. Like, we showed up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can say what you want about, you know, well, I didn't like the way they played, but the games are close.
Exactly.
But think back to some of these other stupid games we played, but must wins, or they weren't must wins, but they should have been easy wins, and we just didn't show up early in the season. That's the reason we're in this scrape.
Playing in the sand game, remember that, against Florida?
Yeah. That's a good example. Florida should have been an easy win, but they went out and played in the sand.
Oh, they played on the beach all day. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and remember how many one-goal games that we lost again? It was like well over 20.
Yeah. And it was all just, it didn't work. And I mean, now it is working, and that's great. But don't blame,
it's really something.
Don't blame missing the playoffs on, oh, we lost, we gave up a point to the Leafs here, and we should have had this game there. No. No, it's not in the last 20, it's not in the last 30 games. It's in the first 50 that the problems happen.
Hey, you know, we mentioned earlier the difference in goal calls between Bob Cole and Dean Brown.
Yep.
Now, I don't have the audio clips, but if you listen to the TSN, who is it who does the call on TSN?
Craig Cuthbert.
Yeah, Cuthbert's call of Mark Stone overtime goal.
Pretty good.
You know, really good. And, you know, and pretty appropriate for the situation.
Cuthbert's awesome. Yeah. I like Dave Randorf, too.
Yep.
Jamie McClellan's actually turned out to be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I really like Jamie McClellan.
I didn't like, Randorf was doing the games out west, isn't he? When the Senators were out west?
I think he did one a couple days ago.
Oh, I remember, I think when the Senators were out, like Western Canada.
No, that was Sportsnet. Those guys put me to sleep. Whoever it was.
Oh.
I can't see you not like Dave Randorf.
No, then maybe I'm thinking the wrong
name. But where I was going with this, you compare that to, and okay, I know, but if you go to the game center, you can flip to the Pittsburgh away feed, which is, what was it? Roots is Fox Sports feed or something,
New England or whatever. And not New England, but
obviously they are calling from the Pittsburgh perspective. Fine, you know, if you get that. Makes sense. It was just like the Hoffman goal. Back to Hoffman, scores. You know, you hear the crowd going wild and everything, and then the overtime one, Carlson to Turris over to Stone, scores.
I think the difference here is that with their regional broadcast, they can be homers.
Well, as does TSN. Like
similar radio.
As does TSN.
Yeah, but
they always get excited react for the goals.
Oh, yeah. Dean Brown even reacts. You know?
Oh, he reacts to an opposition goal. He's not like, oh, this scores.
Yeah, he doesn't.
That's probably not, because I'm trying to compare it to another sport.
NESN.
But
the baseball, Boston guys.
Yeah, but NESN's, that's a regional. It's,
yeah.
It is what it is, and it's kind of fun for that. But I don't know.
No, even it's baseball, funny. It's funny to listen to when that happens. Sure. It's like any score.
Thanks for playing, guys. I'm going to go back to the other broadcast now.
Oh, I'd love to hear the call of that guy. The scratch my back with a hacksaw. I wonder what he said.
Oh, is he still going?
The Buffalo guy?
No, that's Rick Jenner.
That's Rick Jenner. No, the guy who does the radio guy for Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I can't think of what his name.
Yeah, he scratch my back with a hacksaw.
What? They're complete non sequiturs. They make absolutely no sense, but they can be quite entertaining.
Yeah,
in a head scratching sort of way.
Yeah, we got our Dean Brown, but some other teams have their interesting personalities too, right?
Absolutely right.
All right, that's all really the notes that I've got. Okay. Carlson for the Norse. So we touched on that. anything else you want to add in on Carlson?
Not on Carlson. I had a couple of other things to talk about, but I can either intersperse these with some email or
Mark Stone. I can jump on that.
Alfie 2.0?
I think it's a little early.
Absolutely.
It's a little early, but man, is he clutch.
He is.
He's got
He has tied Alfredson's rookie scoring record. Yep. For the Senators.
The fire in his eyes and just the determination he's playing with.
He's ranked number 4 in scoring since January 1st in the league.
We were talking about how slow he was.
He's not a great skater. He's not a terrible skater, but he's not Hoffman or Carlson.
No, and Lazar's not a great skater. Like, sorry, he's a good skater. But
he's an adequate skater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hockey sense.
But he has
hockey
sense and fantastic hands. He leads the league. Not leads rookies. Leads the league. In takeaways.
Yep.
It's funny because hands of stone doesn't sound like it usually has a negative connotation.
That's a Chris Kelly thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His
Cardswick's got to be through the roof.
It used to be Condra, but I'm even Condra's scoring now. So yeah.
Now the only thing I'll say about Stone is he's really good at those takeaways, but when he doesn't get them, and I saw him a couple times against Pittsburgh, it looks really bad when you play the puck and you don't get it. And the other guy blows right by you in the neutral zone.
Oh yeah. It's a bit of a risky play.
It's a risky play.
Sometimes it doesn't work. I didn't really have anything to say about Stone that we haven't already said. I did want to say Andrew Hammond, which we forgot to mention last week, was selected the first star for the month of March.
Ho-hum. It's like, again.
Again. And then last week he won first star of the week. 3 wins, 0 losses, 1.63 goals against, and a .940 save percentage.
Oh, Hammond, you reminded me. When they won in overtime, I actually bought one of those plastic
little squishy burgers.
Squishy burger from Giant Tiger. And I did try to throw it on the ice. I was watching too when they tied it up in the third period. The security was watching everywhere.
Yeah.
Really?
They're not for it. I asked Sylvie about that because she bought some for the RSU and I thought it was a good idea. The team's for it, the building isn't. I think it's a liability thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
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 I saw them watching. So I waited till the end of the game when the game was over, which is the time you should. That's anyways. When you should.
Exactly.
And I tried to hurl it. Now it was 200 row A.
Okay.
I had the net, kind of the corner of the net, 219, you know?
Okay.
It's in the corner. So I didn't make it to the net. It landed, but it was this really soft thing. It was not going to hurt anybody.
Oh yeah, they're squishy.
And someone picked it up and threw it on the ice after anyways. Okay, too.
I did see that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's not easy to throw to this particular one because it catches a lot of it's a little light.
There's no weight, but a lot of surface area, so it's
it quickly died in the air.
That's okay. I saw you tweet the picture of those out. I thought that was good.
Giant Tiger obviously is right on board. They actually called it Hamburglars.
And they were also at the one on Hazeldean.
Yeah. Well, that's where
Statesville is Hazeldean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Hazeldean Road, Main Street
area.
They're squeaky toys for dogs.
Oh, is that what they are?
So you squeak them like,
okay. I just saw them and I went, okay, that'd be better to throw than a real burger because.
Oh, absolutely. It's safe. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to make a mess. It's
not going to cover somebody with, you know, pickle.
Yeah.
Everything else. That's always good. There was, one quick note I wanted to throw out there.
You're still on Hammond?
No, I was going to move on.
Can add something.
Go ahead.
He has now tied Alex Auld with wins as a Senator.
Okay,
he's
beating
Don Beaupre.
He's past Bishop.
He's past Bishop. He is about 12 away from Leonard.
Yeah, I can believe that. Well, Leonard doesn't have that many wins this year.
Yep.
Or last year, for that matter.
And he is 3 away from... Nope, he's beat LeClaire.
He has more wins than Pascal LeClaire. Now, there's a statement you didn't think it would happen.
Wow. Certainly a lot less injuries.
Well.
And he wasn't used properly either.
Wow. That's something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I'm going to keep track of this.
You know, we brought up the dialogue of why is the team playing differently in front of Anderson compared to Hammond? And we don't have an answer for it. And I was mentioning it to the guy sitting next to me at the game last night, an older gentleman, and he's like, you know, it makes you wonder because I play in a, you know, like a beer league and there's this one goalie is great, but he's stressing out the whole team. He's always yelling like, do this, you know, what are you doing? Get going. And it actually makes the team stress out a bit. He said, there's this other guy, when he plays, he's just quiet. He just does his job and everyone's relaxed and we just seem to play better, even though he's not the good goalie.
That's an interesting.
Made me wonder. Like,
does Anderson shout a lot when he's on the ice?
I don't think.
I don't know.
Well, I can't tell.
But
no, there could be off locker room stuff. Who knows?
Well, this also comes with your leader, with your veterans, and or being a veteran or being more experienced. Because a goalie will yell out directions.
Oh, I see. Yeah, possibly.
So like, wheel, 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 reverse, and like just yell things out.
Could be.
Back door, because they know they can't cover.
Could be. Don't know.
And I think, and I'm going back to when MacArthur asked, or was on an interview a while ago. And he said that Leonard wants to see the shot. Yep. Anderson wants the team to take away the blow shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the system's also changed for the team too.
I think it's matured.
But now it's just go and block whatever you can. Get in the way.
Well, I think that's the maturation of the system because the system changed. Maturation of
the system. And then just having the goalie go,
I'll play the system. Yeah. Well, I mean, because he's just come in and was like, okay, whatever the system is, you guys play it. I'll just be the guy back here.
And the thing is, Hammond is very likable.
Yeah, very likable. Low key, easygoing guy.
It seems like they want to play for him, like what you said there. Goalies can stress him out. Anderson, I remember when he played in Colorado, he had a lot of infighting with the team.
Hmm.
He seems to be popular, though. Like, he seems to be popular. I don't sense
any friction there, but it's just an interesting thought.
Yeah. It's, do you want to go to war for this guy? Or
I don't think they're that fragile. I think there's
a combination of things, but.
But it was just an interesting thought. Like, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with him in the offseason. I was talking to Russell about
Leonard, too. Like, what? Is he okay? Like,
there's been no news on Leonard. None. I've been looking.
He came out on the pictures. There's two games left, whatever.
No, that's fine.
But there's not even any progress.
But. He's done for the season.
You don't, remember what Kyle said. It's you don't get any news until they're back practicing.
Well, the news last week was there's been no improvement for Robin Leonard. That's not a good sign since it was a month by that.
Unless they just told him, you know what, shut it down. Don't even try.
Maybe so.
Just take as much time as you need because we don't want you to make a mistake here.
No,
try to come back early.
But I just haven't seen anything since then.
I know.
Yep.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Hammond. Hammond is a UFA at the end of this season. Now, if Ottawa has any sense at all, they will offer him a contract, but he would be insane to take a two-way deal. And
he won't take a
So he'll insist on having a one-way deal, and then we have the three-headed goalie monster again, unless
someone would have to
unless
get
some
moved.
Somebody gets moved. But which one do you move?
Leonard's going to be untradeable until you see him play.
Maybe,
or if you
maybe
say,
not,
he's going to be going 7 months without playing.
I could see some teams taking a bite.
There may not be a big return, but you get out from underneath that contract.
That's not that bad of a contract.
No, but if you need to get rid of one of them, hard to say.
Yeah,
I mean, it means
Anderson
you're
would
goalie,
fit well in San Jose, though.
He'd fit well in a number of places if they wanted to move him and the other team wanted him, but. It's going to be interesting just to see where he goes. And I mean, I wish if he doesn't stay here, he deserves every penny he gets somewhere else.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I have no problem with him.
Not at all. Not at all. Interesting little bit. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at draft position. How many players on this team were drafted in what round, right? And we noticed, I did the research and it turned out that we had a lot of later round draft players. Mm-hmm. Like we had 3 6th rounders. I had no idea we had 3 6th rounders. Stone, Neil, and Mathot.
Yep.
But
who are our first rounders?
There are
Turris, Ryan, Lazar, Carlson,
Zibanejad,
McCulloch, Cowan. I'd have to go back and look.
We've done really well with the draft.
Yeah, it's pretty well.
Really
but
well.
I mean, some of the players
it's a good
were not,
mix.
Some of them were not really drafted here, but they're still a first round pick from somewhere else.
Yep.
Players 25 and under.
Half the team or more.
There are 13 of them. Plus Pumple, who doesn't really count because he hasn't been here very long. 13 players, 25 and under. Turris, Stone, Zibanejad, Hoffman, Pajot, Lazar, Chiasson, Carlson, Cece, Borowiecki, Wierkosz, Cowan, Leonard. Half the team is 25 or under.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing because I really wish I'd had the chance. I just thought of this now. I'd love to go and look and see what Edmonton's like. Because they have three first overall picks on that team alone.
But they've got garbage everywhere else.
I agree. because they don't know how to draft, among other things.
But sure they do. You pick the top pick.
You take the number one. You take the number one, and then you just don't bother with the rest of it.
What about round two? Oh, freak.
Don't need round two. Really? I would disagree on that. But anyway, there was a neat little quote, and this was Sunday night after the Leafs game, and this was from James Myrtle, who is a guy on Twitter, works for the Globe and Mail. I have a lot of respect for James Myrtle.
He's a good writer.
Good writer. He's got great takes. He's very honest.
Yep.
And this was on Sunday
night. Tends to be unbiased, too.
He's pretty unbiased. Pretty straightforward.
Yep.
On Sunday, he tweeted, Ottawa won only 20 of its first 51 games, then won 20 of the next 27. Might be the only season that's as strange as the Leafs. Yeah. Because remember, the Leafs were, what, 2 points out of first overall in the league in November.
Yeah, they had like 15 games straight or something like that.
Yeah, and now they've had five wins
they're
in their
fourth last.
Yeah, they've had five wins in their last 40 games.
They're going to draft either first or fourth.
Or fifth.
Yeah. Wait, why fifth?
If somebody further like down from them wins eight. The lottery. Well, if the team that's eighth overall
wins, they wins go to the one and then you bump everything up.
Yeah, understood.
So that could be fun. That's all I have for player stuff. Do you want to read it? Let's read an email. We've got several to get to. Sorry, I'm doing
Homer
again.
No, it's fine with me. I'm pretty much done. Homer, go ahead.
All right, we got an email from Homer. Hey, guys. Haven't emailed the show in a while, so guess I'm due. Boy, the past couple of months have been a wild ride, hasn't it? Could it get even wilder over the next couple of months? Who knows? Only a couple games left, and the Sens are not making it easy on themselves. They lost to the Leafs twice in the span of a week. They get a point in each of those games, but still, it's the freaking Leafs. If we miss the playoffs because we are tied, but lose the tiebreaker by a single point, those two Leaf games would be costly. Although, if we narrowly miss the playoffs, but pull out another miracle and win the McDavid sweepstakes, that would be awesome. Think about it. McDavid, McDonald's, it's a perfect fit with the whole hamburger thing, and the Sens have going. Mark Stone's been on fire, and he climbed up to being a point behind Gaudreau for the rookie lead in scoring. Stone also leads the league, not just rookies and takeaways, with 95. Gaudreau is second in rookies with 66 takeaways, Mike Hoffman third with 56, and Philip Forsberg fourth at 47. Does this make Stone a contender for the Calder? It should, but I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't. Gaudreau and Forsberg have been part of the Calder talk all season. Stone's name has only been mentioned in the past few weeks, and unfortunately those who vote generally have made up their minds by now. Solution to the tanking problem? There is one, but it'll never fly with the NHL, let alone the NHLPA. I don't know when you could schedule it, but let's have all the non-playoff teams play a single round-robin tournament against each other. So 13 games each, and the rankings determine the picking order for the first round. Playoff teams get picks 15, 16, 17, etc., as they normally do, as they get eliminated. Subsequent rounds go back to the reverse finishing order of the regular season. If the Sens miss the playoffs, will you watch the playoffs? Who will be your team? I'd probably go for Calgary or Winnipeg. If they both make the playoffs, it would be at the expense of the LA Kings. Bettman would hate that, which probably means it would be great. Homer. A lot in there. We did touch on a few things there already.
I like that solution to the tanking problem.
Have a little tournament.
That would never work.
Well, you could do it during the playoffs. Yeah, you got all the time in the world during the playoffs.
It would be like a relegation tournament.
It's reverse motivation for the players. So if I win, we're going to get better draft picks, which means that my job is at risk.
Yes.
I don't want to win that. Well, I'm not going to get paid. Who's going to go and see that?
I'd still pay and go and see it myself. Turn the TV off. You're both paying attention to it.
No. Not really anymore. I was trying to see if they're showing the score.
I can barely see it with the screen anyway.
I think that could be fun. Oh, well, you got lots of time.
I prefer they just take all 15 teams that don't make it and then just lotto ball it.
Everybody gets an equal shot.
Yeah. Even up.
Yeah, yep. Even up.
No, that'd be all right.
Your idea was interesting last week.
Well, I thought long and hard about it, and it was a discussion that Russell and I had already had about a week or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, because we're both really frustrated with the whole concept of tanking, rewarding people doing things to deliberately disable their team.
Toronto's doing it too. You know it.
Well, they traded away everything that they could. They traded away a lot of players who, if I was their management, I'd be like, no, I want to keep these guys. These are the players I actually like. No, no, we're going to trade them away for draft picks.
Yeah.
So they can have more draft picks, which they're going to do what with? Well, ruin.
We'll see.
We'll have to see, but
we'll see with them.
As for, I think we already talked about Stone with his takeaways. Yes, I think it may be a little bit late for Calder talk, but there has been an awful lot of Calder talk with him, not just in Ottawa media, in the past week. Yeah. So,
and that's the fun part about all of this.
League coverage.
League coverage. Yeah,
it's not just.
We never get that.
It's not just. I mean, the league coverage started with Hammond.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now the team has come so far. It's Hammond and Stone and Hoffman.
It's the whole team.
And how good Carlson is and. Yeah, exactly. It's about so many different parts of this team now. It's not just this guy came from nowhere and, you know, shut out California and is 6-0.
Well, I talked to a casual fan in Washington who is, I would describe as extremely casual Caps fan. Like, doesn't follow them all the time, but will watch a few games and go or whatever, not once in a while. But they knew about the Senators.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah, that other Carlson guy. No.
Yeah, Carlson's good in their team.
That one.
Yeah.
Other than that, what was the other question, Dean? Who are you going to be following in the playoffs if the Senators don't make it?
Sorry, just before that, too, it's if they make the playoffs, though, and they do well, it's going to be national broadcast or Canada and the U.S. So that's good for the brand.
For sure.
Very good for the brand.
I'd be all right.
Especially if you get sick of your teams. Like San Jose, who still loves McCulloch.
Yeah.
And
maybe they'll want him back.
Some people in Toronto that are just frustrated. Or like other places like that too.
Right? Hey, San Jose, you know what? We'll take a chair. We'll give you back McCulloch. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. what a steal that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, but if the Sens miss the playoffs, who would you watch? I would probably start with Winnipeg, honestly.
I think they're going to be a fun one to watch just because of the fans and the atmosphere there.
That's going to be hopping.
And especially if they end up playing St. Louis, which is looking likely at the moment.
Yep.
Because that would be another Chicago-St. Louis, almost a Flyers-Pens series. These two teams do not like each other.
And I don't mind St. Louis at all, actually. But, yeah, wow.
I think David Backes should be getting the same suspension that Byfuglien got.
Yeah.
For the cross-check to the back of the head while the guy's on the ice. And I also think that TJ Oshie should be getting a couple of games for headbutting the guy in the face.
Yeah.
There's been nothing about that today. Nothing.
I didn't see that.
No supplemental at all. Well, no.
I'm surprised Greiba didn't get anything for neutering Crosby.
Yeah, well.
On the East, I will follow. I've always had a soft spot for the Caps. And they usually choke. But I'll watch.
I don't have anybody. Maybe Tampa Bay.
Maybe whoever's playing Montreal.
Well, it'll be interesting. Yeah, cheer for whoever's playing Montreal. Actually, no, I know who I want to watch in the East. The Islanders.
Yeah.
I want to watch the Islanders.
Interesting. Yeah.
That would be
a pain in the butt for those fans, eh?
What?
They're finally making the playoffs.
See ya.
And then, bye.
Yeah, they're just moving down the street.
Yeah, down the street.
Down the island.
Like Canada to Orleans.
Yeah, no big deal.
With 12 times the traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah, no big deal. You can still go if you want to. If you want to, you'll go.
Now, the Rangers are definitely the toast of the East in terms of expectations and the way they're playing, but there's a lot of teams I wouldn't want to be facing in the East. Like, yeah, if the Senators sneak in, would you want to face them? No, because they're playing like a complete unit. But what about Boston? I mean, tonight's score aside at the moment, I mean, they're a deadly team. Pittsburgh, they've been sliding, but, you know, all these teams fighting for their lives usually... Yeah. Bode well for them in the first round.
Boston's been streaky, though.
Yes.
Yeah, but they can streak good, though. And they have.
They have been in the last or seven games, but they also had a complete meltdown leading up to that. So it only takes one more injury on their blue
line.
They're
out of gas, and Chera's playing hurt, too.
Yeah, one more injury on their blue line, and they're done. Same could be said for Pittsburgh, though. So.
Yep.
And then they lit us up.
But yeah. No, and that's a thing too, because Boston, like, they're a team of winners.
Well, they're a good team.
So that's when your experience comes.
How many of those games were we scoreboard watching where the Bruins are going to lose and then bang, bang, overtime, bang, score, win?
Yeah, it's true.
It's like,
holy, they can.
Jesus, that was close.
They can. Yeah. Okay, turn the TV off. You're paying too much attention.
Next email.
He's the host.
This is my house.
All right. On to the next email there.
I heard that chant being yelled when we're already down 1-0.
Actually,
figure it out, guys.
Before we go on, since we were just talking about the playoffs, I had a quick question about the playoffs from the note, a few things that I jotted down to talk about. Pat Chiaretti is out.
Oh, yeah. What's the latest on that?
He's out until at least the end of the regular season.
It looks bad.
Concussion-like.
Yeah, concussion. Yep. It was a nasty fall backwards into the boards, and he smacked his head pretty hard.
Uh-oh. He's their heart.
Well, I was going to say, the Habs without Pat Chiaretti.
Or Price.
They'll have Price, but without Pat Chiaretti, they are vulnerable. He is definitely the big gear on that team.
So here come the excuses.
I'm not sold on the Habs.
Oh, no.
I am really not sold. They're going to face one of these teams that's just fighting for their lives to get in or stay in.
This is why I want to get in.
If we could face the Habs, think of how much fun that would be.
Yep. We have the
be
best.
Epic. We would own
they're
them.
The team that we have the best chance against.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we are not going to get them.
No, we're not.
We sneak in. We're getting
not in the first round.
New York.
I'm an optimist.
Detroit's pretty close.
They're all close, but they're just,
we'll know by Sunday.
Yep. They got to lose. We'll know by Sunday. We'll know by Saturday night.
Other quick news. I don't know if you saw this. The arena in Quebec City is now officially named. It's the Videotron Center. And it looks like it's not an attractive building, to be honest. I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, no, it's very.
Are most buildings attractive, though?
Some. Well,
CTC is not attractive.
It has character, at least. It has character. It's an arena. There are a finite number of things
you
can do.
It's just an oval. Yeah.
But it has some character to it. It's not just a complete smooth oval.
Okay.
It's got, you know, the brick walls coming out here and there and stuff going on. This is just a silver oblique spheroid.
Have you ever seen the arena, the dome that, I can't remember, you know, the Dallas Cowboys play in?
Cowboy Stadium.
Have you ever seen that? The new one?
I've seen pictures of it. You've been in it. I've seen pictures of it. It's a building with a lot of
character.
It's like
a UFO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting looking. Anyway, go ahead. Read another email. Your turn.
Okay. CB Inc. Wait, don't she nappy me yet. First of all,
just joking.
First of all, I now too hate the shootout, but even hate tight games more. Here's some ways for the NHL to avoid the shootout and not to have any tie games. A good old fashioned coin toss. Bikini contest, current roster only. David Legwand would not do well.
Bikini contest?
Yeah.
You want to see Mark Mathot in a thong? Next question.
He'd win the game.
My money's on Lazar. Anyway, here you go.
Unless we're playing Chicago. Because David Rundblad is a good-looking man. Anyway. GMs could arm wrestle, a tug-of-war, race to bake a perfect souffle, spelling bee.
Well, don't put Ryan in there. He wouldn't be able to spell intense.
You can't race to bake a souffle. You have to have patience to bake a souffle. You can't race to do that.
That's been his joke on it.
Okay.
I didn't get it. God damn. All right. Second, the idea of having team number 17 get the first draft pick has been explored by others. I think that's what you and Russell were talking about.
Yes.
I agree that the current system is not a good one, but I think it's the best for all bad options. The lowest team is supposed to get the better draft pick and help them to turn things around quicker. This doesn't always turn out, Oilers, but can work out, Penguins. We could go back to the farm team system, but only the teams with winning ways will attract players. Go Sens go, Leafs suck. Loving that the Sens are still playing meaningful hockey in April. Seize the day. CB Inc.
Here, here.
Yep.
I agree wholeheartedly. But I don't want to see a bikini contest with our current roster. That doesn't work for me at all. I'm relieved to say. Coin toss? No, too random. But I like ties, so I'm okay with that. Do you want to read another email, or do you want me to toss in another random fact?
Go for it.
I got one for you. I know that you've gone on at length more than once, and I agree with you, about being bitter that Brian Lee...
Isolate that, please.
Bitter about Brian Lee being picked instead of Anse Kopitar. I was reminded recently that there's a team that did way, way, way worse. In 1989, you'll have to go cast
your... I think I know this.
There was one team that picked three players at third overall, 12th, and 21st.
Quebec?
Nope. And these players were taken instead of Bill Guerin, who was picked 5th, mm-hmm. Bobby Holik was picked 10th, Olaf Kolzig, who was picked 19th, and Adam Foote, who was picked 22nd. The players picked were Scott Thornton, Rob Pearson, and Steve Bancroft. Rob Pearson played the most games in the NHL at 269.
This is Toronto.
Toronto. They picked three players from Belleville instead of Guerin, Holik, Kolzig, and
Foote. I recall,
good old Ontario boys. Yeah, exactly. Up.
Yeah. I recall Don Cherry talking about how the Leafs would never draft Canadians, and then they wouldn't draft Europeans, and they would
three from Belleville.
They had three in the same year.
Three in the third, 12th, and 21st in the same draft, 1989, and they took Scott Thornton, Rob Pearson, and Steve Bancroft instead of Bill Guerin, Bobby Holik, Olaf Kolzig, and Adam Foote. Stop looking at the television.
They would never have picked Holik anyway.
Can't say.
Actually, that's not true. Not in 89.
Anyway, there you go. So that's even worse than drafting Brian Lee instead of Anze Kopitar or Mark Stahl.
Wow.
I thought you'd like that one.
I kind of feel bad for Kolzig, eh? He was the only player in Washington forever.
Whoever gave a crap. Yeah. Pretty much.
Really? Really? Yeah. And then now this team is awesome.
And he's retired.
And they need a better goalie. Brandon Holby's done okay, but.
Oh, well, Kolzig could be pretty old by now.
He's
Orly.
40s.
There was something that was brought up, I think it was on the radio this morning. The New York Islanders, who have not secured their playoff spot yet.
No. I heard this. Ian's crazy thought.
Yeah. They don't have a first round draft pick this year.
Because they didn't protect it.
They traded it. To Buffalo.
Oh, sorry, it's the trade. Oh.
So if the Islanders don't make the playoffs,
and
then their draft pick goes into the lottery.
And if they win
if theirs gets picked first, that means Buffalo gets one and two.
McDavid
and Eichel. Now the odds against that are astronomical, but
it would happen.
It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah,
I'll shake up your spinal cord.
Wow.
I heard that.
So would Tim Murray smile? Would Tim Murray smile when he was at the podium? Thank you, Florida, for their hospitality. And congratulations to the Stanley Cup winners.
As listening to the American
We pick McDavid and Eichel. Thank you.
There's a Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast, I guess a couple months ago. And Merrick went and talked to Tim Murray. He's like, what are you going to do at the draft just to kind of speed things up? Because we know that you don't like to be at the podium much. Well, what I wanted to do is just point at the player that I wanted, but they won't let me do that.
So he knows. He makes fun of himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Like, what great TV would that be? It's like, you.
That guy. That's my first three picks. Let's go. It's
like, those aren't your turns yet.
That's almost as good as a Dave Cameron press conference.
No one's going to take him. We'll take him.
Dave Cameron press conference on game day. He's notoriously known for being like short because he doesn't want to give any bulletin board material. Doesn't want to like screw up the mojo.
Is that why he's doing it?
Okay. It's partly. Did you hear the conference he gave the other day?
Yesterday.
We were talking about it.
Yeah.
He could have walked out and said, Hi, my name is Dave Cameron. We need 2 points. Eric Carlson's taking a maintenance day or something else. Any questions?
McCammon starts.
Yeah. Andrew Hammond starts.
Sorry. Yeah. Why do I keep calling him McCammon? Well, that's the second time I've done that tonight.
You know, talking about the whole McDonald's thing you've brought up, think of all the all these kind of superstitious, fun food things that have been happening. So you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. So you had to eat like a hamburger and a McFlurry. And Boston cream donut tonight because Boston's playing.
I'm done.
Well, good news, though, for Sens fan is tomorrow is the New York Rangers, so you just have to eat a big apple. You'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
So an apple's good.
I thought you were going to go with sushi for...
But sorry, when you come to Saturday, folks, it's Philly cheese.
A Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, so suck it up.
Couldn't you have Philadelphia cream cheese and make that into like a layer dip? Like you have a 7-layer dip?
You got to go to the works or something and get Philly cream cheese on a burger.
Oh, I'll just go find somewhere that makes a good Philly cheesesteak.
That'll do that.
That'll do. I'll be okay with that.
It's kind of burger-esque.
Read another email.
Do you want me to read...
do you guys
want
to flip them?
Warren's?
No, go ahead. Warren's? You go ahead.
So email from Warren. Hey, guys. I was reminded recently of Chris Phillips' conspicuous absence since his 1179 games tribute, eclipsing Alfie's 1178 record. Need I remind you that it was a 2-1 loss to the Washington Capitals back on February 5th? Since that time, with the reinsertion of either Weirkosh or Cowan onto the back end, along with the return of Mark Mathot, the team has gone on to a 25-4 record. Just prior to Hammond's miraculous run, the team was already 4-2-1 with Phillips out of the lineup. Before February 5th, how did the preceding 29 games stack up? The team was 10-14-5. Now, I'm as entertained as the next hockey fan of this sprint to the end of the season, with four teams fighting over the final three spots in the Eastern Conference. If the Sens had won a measly 2 or 3 games more during the Phillips tenure the first half of the season, I believe we wouldn't be having this discussion. Had the organization just placed his long-term veteran... Had they just placated this long-term veteran at the possible expense of some jobs and the team's playoff chances this year? Look forward to your thoughts. Keep up the good work. I think there's a typo there, but I got the question. Basically, did the organization basically placate Phillips? And I heard this on the radio too, the same kind of questions. Like, did they make a back kind of deal? So, you know, like Chris Phillips said when he signed that contract. Maybe it wasn't on the radio. Maybe it was Mr. Chat.
You wanted to sign a 2-year.
You know, just pay me what you need to. Set me the record. And he hasn't played since.
I don't think so. I was thinking something similar to this. Again, I was having a conversation. I don't remember who I was talking to about. Two things on this. Number one, Chris Phillips played a lot of games at the beginning of the season because Mark Mathot wasn't here.
Yeah. Yes.
So
we needed him.
We needed him, and he played for the first 20 to 25, he played really, really well.
Yeah.
Playing way too many minutes for a guy his age and with as much wear and tear on his body that he had.
Yeah.
And he started to break down after that. And with Mathot coming back, it was, okay, we can actually take Phillips out without having both Weirkosh and Cowan in the lineup.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any sort of conspiracy. Well, I think the team actually did want to play him enough games to get him to 1179, but the last few games to get him up there.
They got the jersey printed.
The last few games getting him up there, including that one, he was hurt.
But
that's
the thing,
playing
though.
Hurt. You can tell.
Why give a guy 1179 and then, okay, he plays 1180? What are you going to, like, you know?
I don't think he could.
I think they played him enough to get him to that.
But he started skating again, though.
He has, but I don't...
I want him available for playoffs.
I did not have a problem with Phillips' game.
No,
in the first half of the season.
As a 5-6, he's
He was fine in a lower, in a 3-4 or a 5-6, but not in a 1-2. He's just not the guy to play with Carlson, which is not an easy place for anybody to play.
Yeah.
Which is why we're so lucky.
Because how many minutes does a 5-6 play? 10 to 15?
I was going to say about 12 or 13. Depends on the game.
Because I think 12-ish, he should be okay.
If there's more PK, their numbers go up.
Yes.
Because Mathot will play on the penalty kill with either Boro or Greiba, usually with Greiba.
Greiba gives it left and right.
And but sometimes it'll be Weirkosh and Boro as the other pairing. They do switch them around quite a bit.
Now, we'll tell you this about Chris Phillips. This weekend, I called in and I picked up a Big Greek pizza to take out.
Okay.
And as I'm walking to the doors, lo and behold, who opens the door for me? Because he also was just approaching the restaurant. Not because he was on door duty, but...
He's the doorman.
Was Chris Phillips held the door
really?
For me.
That's cool.
My ovaries exploded.
Sorry to hear that. I hope you managed to staunch the bleeding.
Yes. No. He was coming there with his family.
Oh, okay.
Just fun.
Was Lazar with them too?
Dad, wake up!
Sparking the car.
Yeah, he's sparking the car. Wiping it off.
I don't think it's any sort of conspiracy of getting him to 1179. I think the team really wanted to. Yep. Like, they really wanted to give him that record. They, you know, give him the recognition of what he's been able to do.
Yep.
But he's been hurt.
And I think there was also probably discussion between him and Alfie to, do you want to tie or?
I could see them talking about that.
Yeah. But then the other thing is, well, I didn't leave, so I want the record.
Yeah.
And whether he plays next year or not, who knows? Maybe his, maybe the injury or just the worn downness. Maybe he can't play anymore.
Someone tweeted a photo of him, and it was, they did the math, and it was when he was 22. The guy looks 10 years older than he is, even at 22.
He looked like he was 30 when he was 18.
Yeah.
Kind of like Mark Stone.
Yeah.
A little bit like Mark Stone.
You know,
yeah. Chris Phillips hasn't changed at all, except for his hair.
It's just his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always receding. Had a, you know, square jaw. Didn't look like a baby face when he was 22.
Less chubby.
Yeah.
More solid.
More solid.
More wiry, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's not huge. He's not, you know, Bufflin size or anything. He's tall, but he's not huge. But I don't know. I don't know whether, this, I think I was talking with Russell about this the other day. I don't know whether he'll be back next year. I mean, I know he's under contract.
I'm okay either way.
I know he's under contract, but I could see him if...
I prefer him probably not because unless they need him.
Well, he may just be worn down so much that they just put him on LTIR.
I like him to be in the organization.
Because he counts against the cap, but insurance pays the contract. Yeah. So he gets paid.
Or send him to player safety and keep him on the cap.
He wouldn't get paid
I know, I know.
So, well, unless they make another exception, but...
Hey, opened up another restaurant in the East End.
Yeah. I have no problem with Chris Phillips at all. And I, you know, I wish him all the best, whatever goes
Absolutely.
On. Because he's done nothing but be a good solid citizen and, you know, community guy and player and dedicated
good soldier.
To this team. Yeah.
Yep.
If he's the one who retires as, you know, the first lifelong senator ever, I'm totally fine with that.
Yep.
Totally fine with it. No reason to dispute it whatsoever.
Ironically, the two bobbleheads I got, because I got one last night, so I have Phillips and Neil.
I don't have any anymore. We gave them away, and I'm fine with that.
Do you have an extra... Do you have an extra Z-Bad? No way.
No, I don't. I never got Z-Bad.
Oh,
well,
sorry.
The kids took them.
Just mine little, got given the away. The guy's missing Z-Bad, but that's okay.
Sorry. Send store.
You can always just buy one, yeah.
Yes, exactly. We have one email left. Under special delivery.
Yep.
This one's got my name on it. Yay. From special delivery. As the season winds down, and whether we get into the playoffs or not, it's been a pretty crazy year with lots of ups and downs. What's been your favorite moment of the season so far? Mine was the game I went to in Winnipeg when the winning streak was just starting. All my friends told me the Jets would roll over the Sens, but the Sens pulled out a win, and it just kept going from there. Special delivery.
Hmm.
Favorite.
Yeah, that must have been fun for her, eh?
No, that'd be pretty cool, because that's a pretty hopping building.
It's one game a year that you get to see them.
And that's a pretty hopping building.
Yeah.
That which would be why, again, if the Jets get in the playoffs, oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah,
really fun.
And they're doing the whiteout again.
Yeah.
They got the copyright and everything.
And they're good with chance.
Yeah.
They're very good.
Who's your captain?
That was awesome.
I laughed. My favorite moment of the season. I actually read this earlier today. My favorite moment of the season was seeing Daniel Alfredsson skating in the warm-up. Out of everything that's gone on this season.
I agree.
The streak and everything else, that was my favorite moment. That's one of my favorite Senator moments of all time.
Yep.
Just, he's back where he's supposed to be. And it was weird for me because watching him play for Detroit for a year, it looked wrong to see him in a Detroit sweater.
Yeah.
Team can't, whether it was Team Sweden, fine. All-star game, fine. But Detroit just never looked right. And to see him step on the ice in our red sweater, number 11, it just looked correct. And the atmosphere of that building was insane.
It was great.
And to me,
out
of everything that's happened this year, hands down, that's my favorite moment.
Yeah, there'll be a few of those overtime goals that are going to be right up there in my mind. Like the last two games. But, you know, that is in the conversation for sure. It's the Alfie. Welcome back. The game sucked, but that moment, that whole warm-up was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that one, I was trying to decide between the 6-4 win against Boston.
Yeah.
Where we made it back into the playoff contention for that day.
Yep.
Or yesterday's game.
Yep.
And the LA game too. That was a road game that was on TV.
Yeah.
But man, was I was intense. Leaping out of my chair.
Watch all of it.
That was
watch all of it.
I remember being up until after. Well, I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning because I was so wound up from that game because that was the one that was.
It was late.
But it was 0-0 going into sort of middle of the third.
Oh yes.
And was it Hoffman. Stone Hoffman? I knew Hoffman one of them scored it. That was great.
It's a beauty goal too.
The other favorite moment of the season for me, and this is again going off the page, and it's a favorite moment for not necessarily the best reasons. It was the game that we went to after the shooting of the soldier at the National War Memorial.
Yep.
I wasn't there for that, of course, but
it was
the ceremony and everything.
The ceremony at Center Ice with the you know, it was the Devils, I think.
Yes.
Yep.
Devil Center, so it was red, white, all the way around. And they gave everybody in the building little glow sticks to hold as a candle. And it was very poignant. It was a very moving moment. And our national anthem was transmitted to Toronto and Montreal for their games, which was a very cool thing for those teams to say, hey, you know what? Beam us in, basically, or we'll beam what you have to our buildings. The team didn't have to do that. You know, the NHL didn't have to do that, but they did. I mean, it was a very big deal in this city, and I'm sure some of our listeners who aren't in the Ottawa area don't realize how much that day affected this city. I was in a portion of the city that was locked down for 12 hours. I couldn't leave my home. I didn't know I was locked down when I got locked down because I walked outside and was wondering why there was nobody nobody around. But they had just extended the cordon to where I live.
Yeah, but Montreal and Toronto have also had their tragedies too.
Yeah.
So you can, well, not grow, but you can empathize with it.
Oh, for sure.
And it was a big national unity thing.
And it was symbolic. Very well done. It was very well done. It was simple.
A symbolic crime. And yeah,
it was, I mean, the whole ceremony was in fantastically good taste. It was simple. It was not carried on too long, but it was very, very well done. And I mean, all these different things that have happened this year between that and Alfie coming home and this incredible streak that we've been on, it's been one hell of an exciting year. When you think about last year, this year has been just so amazing compared to last year.
Yep.
So they don't
like
compare.
We had a lull, but every time that we would get together for a show, it'd be like, what's there to talk about?
Well, in the fall, it was kind of hard to get things going, and then it just kind of took off. Mm-hmm. So favorite moments? There have been a lot of them. Mine aren't too many game moments, I notice. But they're all things that the Senators have done.
Yep.
So it's not just what happens on the ice. It's what happens elsewhere. I don't think I have anything else left to say.
I have something left to say. I think I'm past the superstitious point now. I'm looking at the TV and it's 3-0 Caps with 2 minutes to go. Looks
depressed.
So I'm just going to say, CAPS, 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 Caps.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, by the time people are listening to this, we'll be...
It'll be old news, but hey.
That's okay. No, but tomorrow morning, we'll be 2 games left and tied with them. So they're still on the tiebreaker.
Yes.
But...
That helps.
Oh, yes, very much so.
It helps. But Boston, they're going to come back.
Boston's going to Florida and Tampa
for Florida the last 2 games? Tomorrow.
Florida tomorrow and Tampa on Saturday.
Hedberg's back.
You know, Julian, I know Edmund, beach Edmund. Where your players could go out and relax, maybe have a game of Frisbee.
Blow some steam.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time of the year to do that.
For sure.
Absolutely. Maybe have a round of golf.
You know what tomorrow's game is?
The most important game of the year.
Yep. Part 8.
It really is.
They all are. So yeah, sure.
Week ahead.
There's 2 games left.
Rangers tomorrow. Saturday at MSG. Saturday in Philly, 12:30.
Yeah, 12:30 game.
I don't like that for an end of the season. I really don't, but...
They're going to show up.
Well, I'm sure they are. They know they have to, so.
Yeah.
I just realized something.
Emery's going to ruin it?
Oh, no. Talk to you offline. Okay. All good.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it was about to be a profound statement.
No, not from this mouth.
Okay. Yeah, so that's all the I guess that's all we have. So to reach us, you can always email us at podcast@sensecallups.com.
Man, your voice is good.
Yeah. Forums@sensecallups.com, Twitter @sensecallups, Facebook somehow. And the waiver wire at 1-844-SCU-6565, and that's powered by VersaSure.
Or Morse code at ...
So we should set up a fax number.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fax?
Yeah.
All right.
Fax need another link. Media.
Telegrams?
Carrier pigeons?
Yep. So that's all I've got. Enjoy the rest of the regular season. Talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Later.